Hello. This podcast represents some of the guidelines that we'll be using for the fall 2015 e-portfolios. A transcript of this podcast is also available here in Canvas. Let me give you an introduction to e-portfolios, the way we'll be producing them this semester. As you may know, this is the development process of implementing ePortfolios, so all of the details and the requirements are not specifically worked out. We have things that we are going to try this semester and see how they work out. We want your feedback. It's okay to ask questions or help massage a portfolio into something that will ultimately be some of the models that we'll use in the future. The ePortfolio represents a culminating assessment of your learning and your preparation for the field of library and information science. Although the LIS program provides guidelines and some advisory and mentoring as you go down the pathway to complete your ePortfolio, it is up to you, the student, to be responsible for basically the whole thing, planning it, designing it, creating it, and then ultimately presenting it. And also to meet the deadlines that are required before your graduation. If you're planning on graduating in this semester, then you need to meet those deadlines, those benchmarks that we've set, so that you can actually be able to have it submitted, reviewed, and successfully passed. And then your program is going to be evaluated. We put together a process to make sure that we certify you for graduation, and this is part of what you need to accomplish. We'll give you a communication saying you've successfully met these requirements, and it will go into part of what your whole credentialing process for graduation involves. They check your courses, make sure you've met your requirements, your grade point average, those things, and then also make sure that we as a group have said that you have successfully completed an assessment. Some people are taking the comprehensive exam, and others, such as you, will be doing an e-portfolio. The e-portfolio advisor right now, that would be me, Diane Austin, and Dr. Kathleen McCook, is there to assist you by reviewing content and mentoring you as you complete this professional self-reflective assessment of your abilities, your competencies, your work. But we're specifically relating it to the outcomes that are stated for your specific accredited library and information science program. As we are still in the design and development phases of the ePortfolio, the requirements for the fall 2015 semester graduates will be as follows. As I mentioned, requirements may change as we progress in the assessment's development based on formative feedback that we get from you or from employers as we ask them to look at our process, our own faculty, and outside consultants. The ePortfolio for fall 2014 includes representative artifacts from the six core classes. That would be foundations, your basic information sources and services, your organization of knowledge one, library administration, research methods, and collection development. And some of your specialty electives. There's a number of different electives that are offered, and you've been taking them either by trying to develop a path of expertise, or you may be taking a variety of electives because you want to be generally prepared for different types of librarianship. And co-curricular activities, things that are not part of the academic program or your courses, which have helped prepare you as an information professional. It is you, the student's, responsibility to determine and gather appropriate artifacts and write a focused narrative which will best represent your synthesis of program outcomes. We provide these program outcomes. That's one of the documents that are in your Canvas site. The artifacts and the narrative should be represented in a way that clearly indicates your knowledge and your ability to apply the program outcomes, the things that you've learned. You need to be able to describe how you are now recognizing what they are, how they're applied, how you're going to use them in the future. Your faculty advisors and mentors, again, this semester would be Dr. McCook and myself, and LIS Administration are here to help guide you through your program and help you find choices to lead you to your professional goals. You have advisors right now, and you should still be seeking them when it comes to selecting courses or if you have any particular questions about how your coursework is going. But now that you're in your last semester, again, we have some very specialty advising being provided by Dr. McCook and myself so that we can help get you through this portfolio successfully this semester. Normally, we would expect that the portfolio would take multiple semesters to do. But again, that would be if it was totally on the students' responsibilities, but we're here to help you. So it's your responsibility to create the portfolio and meet those deadlines, but we will help you through for the fall 2015 semester. In fact, I made a special notation on the notes that will be here to help you especially so that you can be successful in it this semester. We also thank you for being one of the early groups to adopt the portfolio. There are required parts of a portfolio that we'll go over, and you need to get, that's probably the first step of what you should do. Gather these parts. And then what you'll do is plan your portfolio, and then you will write the narrative for your portfolio. And finally, you will actually create it, you will put this portfolio together so that it can be presented to us. Now, you may be working on a couple of different things at the same time, but for the most part, that's what you're trying to do. All the work should pretty much be done, other than the things that you might be working on this semester. You should be able to go and get the papers that you have written or be able to write up examples of your projects. And you're also going to be looking at some things that are not part of your coursework. So you might have to write up some annotated pieces of what you've done in volunteer work, or you might find some evidence of what you've done in a field work, or some brochures of webinars that you've used for professional development. And things like that you might have to put together, but that for the most part, a lot of the work is done, and your work is really concentrating on writing it up and pulling it together narratively, and then presenting them in a way that we can review. I would not suggest getting too involved, that you spend more time in creating the portfolio than concentrating on the narrative. If you need to, you can do something very simply, and we'll spend time going over your options as we produce these over the semester. We have an October 1st benchmark that we'll first talk about, in that you need to have your plan together. So that's why you should be concentrating on first grabbing as many of the artifacts that you think you might want to start with, having something at least from every one of your six core courses, and then you can start looking for some of the things from your elective courses and co-curricular things and pull those together. But plan it out. There's a planning document that you can look at that you can kind of just fill in. I have it designed so that you just have a few thought questions. And if you answer those questions, your plan for October 1st will be totally complete. It's just a one-page thing, just so that you know what you're responsible for, what you need to pull together, and what you need to do, these simple steps that we just talked about. I have some items that I also have in the notes about what do we mean by an artifact. That's your papers, your projects, work that you've produced through your program. It can also include evidence of things that you participated in that are co-curricular, things that you've done outside of the academic process, certificates, representations of going to conferences, awards you might have been given, or other certificates, I'm sorry, other things that you might have created that were outside of your curricular activities. The narrative is represented as a first-person writing. It's self-reflective, it's descriptive, and it's going to address every one of the outcomes and how your artifacts prepared you, or how the outcomes relate to the artifacts that you've put together. So if you have a collection development plan that you've included as an artifact, then you should be discussing under the outcomes for collection development that you'll describe the need for an impact of collection development policy. So you'll talk about how this plan that you did would prepare you to be able to write a collection development policy. That's the type of things that we're talking about, relating your outcomes to the artifacts that you've produced. The other thing is that this is a personal perspective, so this is not an academic paper. It's the major pass-fail part of this portfolio, that you already have your artifacts completed because you've been working on them throughout the program, but organizing it in a usable manner and then writing a strong narrative is really what you need to concentrate on. So instead of writing the academic paper for the comprehensive exam, you'll be writing from your own personal perspective. It also gives you a chance to really look back and see, what can I do? How did I learn this in my program? And how can I show an employer, my reviewer, and for our purposes, we'll be able to provide that to the American Library Association, of how you feel about what you've done and how you've been able to accomplish that. So that's what your narrative represents. The major pieces of the portfolio include a table of contents. That's just a natural. We need to know how it's organized. So you'll probably produce that after you get everything together so that you can identify where things are and where they go. You'll get your artifacts together. We've already discussed those things. And there are some tips as far as what you should think about. You should have at least one from each of the 6 core courses. And that includes either a physical paper or if it's an activity. Say you had a discussion about something and you would consider that an artifact, you would either have to just write up an assessment of the discussion, an annotation of what it entailed, and then you can reflect your impressions about it in your narrative. You'll select artifacts which you determine show specialty interests or paths. So first your core courses and then anything that you might bring in, say, your Wikipedia class, your advanced cataloging classes, courses in youth services or adult services, those type of specialty courses that help prepare you for the future. You'll use examples and then address those. And you should have a current professional resume as one of your artifacts. And any other artifacts or examples that you determine might help tie together those outcomes with how you're prepared for the profession. The narrative should have an introduction. That would be a brief summary of how your portfolio is organized and the process that you went through creating it, you know, how you selected and why you selected the things that you've selected and how you've laid it out. And then the main body, that's just very, very brief, but the main body is where you're going to be focusing your narrative on, basically talking about each of our 6 outcomes: professionalism, information services, information systems, collection management, leadership and management, and research. And this document is here in the Canvas site. You'll talk about each of those, what they mean, what you think they mean, how they represent, they're represented. There are sub outcomes, specific sub outcomes that describe what this means. So that's going to be a prompt for you to be able to read. So read that document on student learning outcomes. Look at each one of them. You'll be addressing the general topic, professionalism. Under there, it discusses the roles that professional organizations in librarianship and becoming active members of the profession, and kind of knowing the standards of the profession. So a lot of those things you learn in foundations. You'll describe the disciplines and core theory within the functions that you're in. And those are the things that you've learned all along. So you don't have to address and name those theories. You just really need to be addressing how learning about those theories is preparing you for the profession. So I think it'll be very doable for the way that you need to address this. Besides, you focus on the outcomes and then describe what you think the competency means. What does professionalism mean? Very short. You don't want to be droning on and on. You really want to make this precise because we have to read this, and you should try and just be concise in it. You do not have to make this a huge long narrative if you are to the point and concise in your thoughts. discuss the coursework that helped you meet that competency. So obviously, if you've learned to write a grant or look at the research in the field, that's where your research methods course has come from. So that's what you'll be stating in that area. You'll mostly include and focus on the six cores, but then make sure you bring in anything that you would like to discuss on that specialty path or the general variety of electives that you've taken and why they've prepared you. Why taking an elective like digital libraries has prepared you, or web design, or youth, or YA literature, how those things are preparing you for the profession. Discuss the artifacts that you've chosen, why you selected them, and why they're a good representation of your meeting that outcome. Then you should discuss how you might use them in the future. Obviously, if you've taken a course in adult services, that's going to be able to help you prepare programs and know what the needs of adults are out in the public library system. So that's how you'll be addressing those. Then if you discuss this is the main body of your narrative, then you'll have a conclusion. You'll make a conclusion statement, just include your reflections on the MLIS program, discuss your strengths a little bit, mostly how you've developed them within the program, or what you feel that you brought to the program from your previous experience, but the strengths preparing you for the profession. And then a professional growth plan. What are your future plans? What type of librarianship do you want to go into? How do you want to use your degree? And then any further final comments and conclusions can be put in here too. Then the last piece is a statement of integrity. So basically making the statement that it's all your own work and that I will also protect the privacy of others as I present this information. And then before you make the portfolio public, how you will make sure that you address those areas. And then you can sign it electronically. If you sign it with your name and your U number, that'll be a signature that it represents you. I've put a few things also to think about, some tips and requirements for organizing your portfolio. Include at least one piece of evidence or artifact per competency. Some artifacts may meet multiple competencies, so you could have a paper that will be used as an artifact in multiple areas. But then don't find one paper that represents three different areas and another paper that represents three different areas, so you only have two artifacts. You'll still want to keep, I think that a half dozen mark is probably a really good number to keep in mind, that you should have at least that many, but you may very well have a paper that meets multiple competencies. And that's good because it also shows that the curriculum has been helping you by you being able to relate it to various courses. So the things that you're learning about professionalism in foundations may also be addressed in library administration. So then be concise and clear. The narrative doesn't need to be extensive, but should account for your thoughtful and concise summary of your preparation through your coursework and other means. Make sure that every artifact or example directly relates to the outcomes. Don't put extraneous things in there. If you can't address it to an outcome, then it may not be a good representative artifact or example to use. Artifacts and examples should be in their own section. You can either attach them, or you can have a link to a URL for something that's out there on the web. And a lot of things you might want to do, you might want to keep on the web, again, if it meets the privacy guidelines and is appropriately scrubbed. Because if you're going to be using something that you would like to give to an employer, a web page out there for with some of your work on it, then there's no reason that you can't pass it through. We'll be using Canvas, to do our final summary of our portfolios, and instructions will come for that, so don't worry about it right now, that you can pass a URL through. But your portfolio must be presented in entirely electronic form. We can't take any paper form. So therefore, if you have something that you only have in paper, then you will have to turn it into an electronic form. So you need to scan the paper. You need to take an image of a poster that you created. You'll somehow convert everything to electronic form. Again, if you need help with that, then you just need to say so, and we can try and facilitate that for you, or give you some type of mentoring and able to create the pieces that you need. Make sure it's contained in an appropriate venue. So we'll be using web pages or blogs, but then we also have some instruction on how to use Canvas and set your portfolio up in Canvas. It's just something that you have to activate, and then you already work in Canvas, so there's a way that you can put files away. and get that together. Navigation and organization, the main interface and supporting contents must be clear and usable. So basically, if you're putting it out there, keep it organized, make sure that someone can easily get around your portfolio, click on the right things, or put in the right folders. So that's something to keep in mind as you're creating it. Make sure your writing and spelling and punctuation and grammar is impeccable. Just because this is not an academic paper does not mean that you shouldn't show how you can communicate and professionally write. You will have to do that in your jobs. You will have to write, you will have to speak, you will have to present yourself. So make sure that everything they put out there, nothing is sloppy, nothing is misspelled, or like I said, poor grammar. If you need to have somebody read over your narrative or take it to a writing center, that's okay. As you're making a statement that your ideas are your own, so and your writing will be your own. However, if you have to have somebody go over your paper and help you massage it to make sure that it's professional, think of it, like I said, is if you're going to hand that to an employer, is it something you would want your employer to read? You can do some of your narrative in audio form, but we don't have specific guidelines on that. So if you do decide that you would like to write some of it and you would like to record some of it, then let me know so that we can set up a model that'll work for you. All artifacts and electronic pages must function and they must be accessible by the reviewers. I will not be able to track down URLs that don't work. If something gets clicked on and we get a page not found, we're not going to be searching for where that artifact should be. It will be rejected for those items. So before you hand anything in, make sure you spot check what you're giving the reviewer. Make sure your links work. Make sure that if you upload a paper, make sure you click on it and that opens up in the PDF format that you plan on having it reviewed in. Then when in doubt, ask. Don't assume that any artifact or example is appropriate or inappropriate. If you think otherwise, if you don't know, ask. I mean, you'll have a lot that you'll be able to choose that I'm sure your judgment call is going to be perfectly fine. You're really at the end of your professional preparation, so I think you can make some of those judgments. But if there's something saying, do you think this would be a good thing, you know, to explain how I fit into information, you know, systems because I did, you know, this analysis on something, then just let us know and we'll help you decide that. Again, remember this is something that most students will have to work on their own through multiple semesters, maybe in multiple years, and you're doing it in one semester, so that's why we will give you some special handling of helping you not waste time, be able to make decisions and get this portfolio built. Remember, it takes time to write that comps paper, except that you're doing it over a 1 week window. So lots of time on one thing. This you can take a little bit more time, spread it out through the semester. We do have some deadlines. You know the benchmarks are out there, October 1st, November 1st, December 1st, which means October 1st. Write up your plan. Start pulling your stuff together and then fill out the one-page planning my portfolio guideline that I have in Canvas and fill that out and then just submit it. We also want to make sure that we talk before that deadline. So we're going to have a couple of online sessions and that can count towards it because it's just there so that you can ask questions. And I know that you've read all this material, you understand what your obligations are, and you can ask questions. So we may be meeting in a group and you'll make a statement in that group meeting. Yes, I'm okay. Things are clear to me, and I don't have any other questions, or here are a couple of questions. I've already met with a few of you individually, and anybody else, again, that would like to talk about these things individually, then we can set up a virtual appointment or an in-office appointment, whatever we need to do to make sure that you are comfortable. That's all that meeting is for. Then you'll have pretty much of a month, October, to pull this together and start plugging it into your portfolio. And you need a strong draft then submitted by November 1st. That gives Dr. McCook and I a chance to review the portfolios. We'll probably work on that the very first week. We'll be, you know, standing here waiting for them. We'll be actually looking at things as you're developing them, so we can make some notes on your progress and things that we won't have to look at again when they're submitted. But by submitting that portfolio, then we can give you feedback, and then you'll have a few weeks to be able to make any corrections, massage some things, add some things, take some things out. We'll read the narrative, make sure that it's, you know, right on pace, and that way you can go rework some things, and then you're technically your final submission then will be for December 1st, so that we can make sure that you graduate and everything is good. So this is some notes that you, like I said, need to review, and listening to the podcast is a good idea because I was able to add some, you know, additional insight into the notes. And if you have any questions, please let me know. We will have a meeting online in Canvas. The fact that you're addressing this and reading these pages means that you should be already in the Canvas portfolio site. And let us know as you have any questions as we go. Thanks.